this whole area in here is loaded with them.
Seth Perry is walking into a wooded remote area, only a few miles from downtown Petersburg. Huge trees surround him. The only sign of human life here is a broken-down trailer with vines crawling all over it. Perry walks towards it, crouches, and turns over a small rectangular piece of wood that's fallen off the structure.
There's one.
There, lying right below, are six newts, their blackish-purple skin curled up into tiny balls the size of quarters. Perry grabs one and exposes its peach-orange belly.
It's just a rough-skinned newt. See, this one's got very rough skin. He's a young adult male. This would be a juvenile, actually.
If you asked most Petersburg residents, they'd probably say they've never seen a single newt on the island. But Perry knows they're here. He spent his childhood summers near Petersburg's ball fields, searching for newts and wood frogs along ponds and brooks.
I never found these much when I was a kid. I caught frogs. But these are some of my favorites now.
As the years have passed, though, Perry has started to see less and less of the amphibians around. They're still abundant, he says, but nowhere near the level they were decades ago. And that worries him. So when he saw a posting online a few years ago about a graduate student who wanted to explore the amphibians in the area, he saw an opportunity. He messaged the student online, and soon they were planning a trip to explore the unknown remote islands of southeast Alaska, an expedition across the Stikine River to chronicle every frog, newt, salamander, and toad they could find.
The opportunity to get on the river, to have a volunteer that has a boat that's able to take me to those places, and everything being new information to science, is exciting.
That's Josh Rehm, the graduate student and Perry's new research partner. Rehm moved a few years ago to study at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks. He's always loved learning about the outdoors, especially amphibians. But when he came to Alaska, he hit a brick wall. There was barely any information on Alaskan amphibians anywhere. The best he could find was a 1991 study by the U.S. Forest Service, and that was it. Rehm was shocked. He says there needs to be more research done, because amphibians are important.
They play, amphibians at least, an important role in the food chains in many areas. They can be very abundant in different areas. They provide a great food source for birds and small mammals and fish. They also eat a huge quantity of mosquitoes, you know, so they can have, if there's a lot of mosquitoes and limited amphibians, there can be a health impact for humans.
But unfortunately, Rehm says, science funding doesn't consider that. Organizations have to weigh what studies are most important, and in Alaska, most of the time that ends up being studies on fish, and salmon especially. Rehm was able to snag one of those grants to fund his research last year, but this year, he wasn't so lucky. So instead of looking for money from governmental organizations, Rehm turned to an unlikely source, the public.
So I've been funding part of the research just through my own personal funds, but my advisor suggested several months ago that I look into some of these alternative sources, sort of new up-and-coming ways to fund research. And one of the sources was this GoFundMe project. And then my volunteer, Seth Perry, there in Petersburg, brought up the GoFundMe project as well. So now I had two people that had brought it to my attention. So I figured, you know, this might be worth looking into.
That plan, crowdfunding, is a relatively new idea for scientists. Websites like Kickstarter and Indiegogo have enabled a lot of musicians and inventors to become successful. But for scientists, it's no sure thing. But luckily for Rehm, it worked. He raised the money, and Rehm and Perry came out this summer to cruise island to island along the Stikine. They just returned from their second expedition last month. They traveled through the Wrangell and Petersburg areas, making stops on the Stikine River and other remote places. Rehm said the experience was informative, but what made it truly unique is that no one's really done it before.
You know, I never know when I'm going to find something that no one else has in the area. And, you know, I think in the lower 48, many of the same questions were answered, you know, perhaps 100 or 200 years ago on their populations. And now they're looking at some very, very fine-tuned questions regarding species populations. But being able to, you know, almost, I think of myself being in a similar position as, you know, explorers like Darwin or Linnaeus or people that, you know, were discovering new species. I feel that that's an opportunity that I have when I'm out on the landscape like that.
So far, Reem hasn't exactly had that kind of impact, but all in all, this year's trip was pretty successful. He and Perry found twin-toed salamanders near the Twin Lakes on the Stikine, which some had thought had disappeared in the past. And at Mallard Slough, near Petersburg, they found long-toed salamanders, notable for their slender yellow stripes down their backs. Reem says he can't make any conclusions about what's happening to the animals quite yet, but his goal is to document exactly what species are in the area and to look for changes to those species into the future. And he's found a way to continue compiling research when he's not in the Stikine, by placing logbooks in cabins along the river so visitors can search for amphibians and record what they see, becoming scientists themselves. For the future, Reem and Perry plan to keep coming out here every year to figure out exactly what's going on with the frogs. The money's been tight, they say, but if the crowdfunding worked once, they think they can make it work again. In Petersburg, I'm Robbie Feinberg.